time for This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantis. We had some very crazy weather around here lately, but nothing like what happened June 26, 1954, right?
Nothing at all, Bob. Good morning, by the way. This week, 70 years ago, the city experienced some of the most bizarre weather the city had ever experienced, and still to date has not. And that's saying something, because we're used to these bizarre temperature swings and weather swings, of course. But this was different. June started out that year, 1954. Extremely cool. Highs barely into the 60s, lows in the 50s. The cool stretch was then followed by 11 straight 90-plus degree days. But that's when things got really weird, Bob. June 26, 1954, a freakish storm hit. And as this 10-foot high wall of water just formed over Lake Michigan, and it just started moving toward Chicago's beaches with this great force. The wall of water stretched from downtown all the way to the North Shore, it could be felt. And at the time, they called it a seiche, later reclassified as a meteorological tsunami.
Wow.
Yeah, tsunami to hit Chicago. Who knew? But that was kind of a distinction without a difference for the thousands of people enjoying the lakefront that day. Fishermen were swept from their piers. Their boats were overturned. Lifeguards were tossed from their stands on the beach. People were terrified, and just total chaos because there was no warning. They didn't have the weather tools at that time that, you know, you do today. So we pulled this clip of an interview with a man who was there, Chicagoan Marvin Katz, then 89 in 2019, when he gave this interview to the Tribune.
There's probably about six or seven of us that were going to go out fishing. It got a little dark, not too bad, but we thought, you know, let's fish in the middle of Montrose Harbor. So we were able to anchor in the middle of the harbor, and we were there fishing for a while, and all of a sudden we felt the boat just rock a little bit, and we looked out, and there are people in the water, bodies floating around. There was a huge amount of tackle, and we tried to understand what happened then. At first we realized the water had come up so fast, it just rose up like an elevator and washed all these people who were fishing off the jetties and the breakwaters into the water. When I hear it described sometimes as a wave that comes in, it was not a wave that came in and upset the boat at all. There was no real sideward motion of the boat. The boat just rose. Well, it's a humbling experience because you realize how powerful nature can be. What it can do in a short period of time.
Never happened before and hasn't happened since, has it?
It has not. And now there would be warning for sure of something like that if the conditions were around because of everything that they've learned and all the weather tools that have been developed over time. But wow, can you imagine? What a scary time.
Yeah, for sure. This week in 1961, a very famous entertainer got started here. And you know, you hear a lot about these comedians who began at Second City. You don't hear about Joan Rivers that
Joan
much,
Rivers.
But it was right here in Chicago, wasn't
One
it?
One of the first, Bob, and she credits to this day Second City as being the place that turned her from an actress to a comedian. Pretty cool. She, 1961, she came to Chicago to audition for Second City, famously threw an ashtray in this act of anger that was like this dramatic display of what she was capable of. And she had just come from New York, where she had starred in this critically acclaimed smaller production with co-star, then unknown actress Barbara Streisand. But Joan Rivers wanted to do comedy, and she came to Chicago because she had heard about Second City. It was just 2 years old at that point. And she made her debut on the main stage summer of 61. And though she stayed only for one season, always said that that Second City experience transformed her. Here she is, Joan Rivers, describing some of her recollections from Second City back in the day.
The comedy was up here, and they never pandered down, ever. And it became such a breeding ground for the most brilliant Mike Nichols, Elaine May, Alan Arkin, Shelley Berman. Then the second group came, and that was Barbara Harris, and then I came out of that, and David Steinberg came out of that. Then the third group was the John Belushi group, and the little Gilda Radner's, and it was all smartasses. We were all a bunch of smartasses. And if we had read the dictionary, well, we were going to talk about what we found the word in the dictionary. In Second City, you were able to say what you thought was funny. You never had to say, will the audience get it? You didn't care. You went to each other's level. And the things that came out of it were absolutely glowing.
Joan Rivers made her debut on the main stage at Second City in the summer of 61.
Pretty cool stuff. Went on to do stand-up, of course, Bob. All the late-night talk shows, became a regular fill-in for Johnny Carson, and became the first female to host a nationally televised late-night talk show herself.
Yep. So. And now we remember the Wiener's Circle.
Are you a fan of the Wiener's Circle? Because I know it's more about the drama. Maybe the dogs
are not. It's a show.
Yeah.
I haven't been there in a long time, but they got some national publicity this time of year back in, what year was this?
This was 2012. Conan O'Brien brought his show, if you recall, Bob, to Chicago. And he decided, hey, let's send one of the nicest guys ever, Jack McBrayer, all-around nice guy, star of 30 Rock, into the Wiener Circle. And gee, what could happen to a really nice guy who goes into the Wiener Circle where they like to hurl insults at you? And, you know, it's just a crazy scene in there. Poor Jack. Here's what they played on Conan that night.
I'm here right outside the Wiener Circle. Thanks so much for sending me here. I'm real excited. I've heard great things, and it looks like there's a lot going on in there. So come on, let's go check it out.
What you want?
I don't know the difference between a Vienna Red Hot and a Char Dog.
What Char Dog? What Cheddar Burger?
I'm letting you know, I just want a hot dog.
Do you want a char dog thing? You slow
I would like a regular char dog. Mustard and ketchup, please.
So you want the mustard and cheese? That's a char cheddar dog.
I'm going to leave.
I don't give
You've treated me very rude. I'm coming back with a friend, and you will be very sorry.
You're going to be very sorry.
Yeah, it's no cover charge for the floor show.
No. Yeah, I don't know if the hot dogs are great, but the show certainly is. And poor Jack.
Yeah, that's funny. There's a call to the post for Secretariat back in 73.
Take us back then, Bob, 1973, 50 years ago. The local media headlines all heralded the arrival of the then most talked about athlete in the world coming to Chicago. Secretariat was coming. The 3-year-old thoroughbred was not only the first Triple Crown winner in 25 years, he'd set the record in all three of those respective races. And this record-setting racehorse was now racing at Arlington in a special arrangement. And we people packed into the overflow areas. We pulled some of the audio from that day at Arlington, June 30th, 1973.
Over 40,000 people are awaiting the appearance of the greatest thoroughbred of our time, the Triple Crown winner, Secretariat. He arrived by private turbojet only 48 hours ago at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. He's being challenged this afternoon by a field of three in a specially arranged race. We now have the call to the post. All people stand now because they'll get a look at Secretariat saddled up with Ron Turcotte up on this great 3-year-old. We have no estimate of the crowd, but they did open the infield today to allow the overflow at general admission to go over there and get a good look at this 3-year-old who is complying with the wishes of all Chicagoland racing fans, which is credit to Mrs. John Penny Tweedy. And Mayor Richard Daley hailed Mrs. Tweedy today with the proclamation that this is Secretariat Day in Chicago, Illinois.
Wow, arrived here by private jet, huh?
Yeah, the full treatment there. People know the names Bob Seabiscuit and American Pharoah, but still, Secretariat to this day, widely considered the greatest North American racehorse of all time.
We talked about the Bear new series premiering tonight, and this was the week it started back in 2022, wasn't it?
Who knew? So many restaurant shows come and go. In fact, there are not many of them survive, but this week, 2022, the TV series The Bear premiered and was a breakout hit set in the fictional sandwich shop that is loosely modeled after Mr. Beef in River North. The creator showrunner, Chris Storer, Chicago area native, was a frequent customer at Mr. Beef and also told us in interviews that he briefly worked there at the age of 19. He said it just was so chaotic, followed by so much calm, and that anything could happen. And he just thought, gee, that would be a great place to set some sort of a series, a drama. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I love about it, Bob, is just how it features Chicago and the neighborhoods and the skyline and the L and so many of the best mom and pop restaurants across the city. Pretty cool just to think about it. Here's Christopher Storer himself explaining his deep appreciation for restaurant workers and a little more about the drama-filled environment of restaurants.
One of the main reasons that we even really wanted to do the show is that we wanted to make something that really was about
anxiety and depression and this struggle to accept any kind of joy, which is something that I definitely suffer from and have dealt with my entire life. But to put it in terms of like a comedy, yep, sort of makes it easier to for these people to sort of blast off on each other and explode. And I think while making the show, because Joanna and I were directing every episode, I think it was a little easier for us to be like, well, this is Carmi's journey, but then we also see kind of even what Maddie said too, like you see Richie is pushing Io and Io is pushing Carmi, and I think that, not to just generalize about restaurants, but also in some small businesses, that you sort of, that push is just a natural thing when you're spending 12 hours a day with strangers who end up becoming your family or closer to you than a lot of family members.
I'll tell you, power of suggestion, I'm actually smelling Italian beef right now.
I know. Just hard to get it out of your head, isn't it, Bob? I know where you're going for lunch.
I should have that while I watch the show tonight.
They're dumping all the episodes, I heard Dean say, right? Late tonight.
Yeah,
so.
All available, I think, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Looking behind us here in our beautiful studios, the Taj Mahal of radio stations here at WGN, we can see Navy Pier and the Ferris wheel. It's almost 30 years old now, isn't it?
30 years. The one that started on July 1st, 1995, that one debuted at Navy Pier, modeled after, of course, the original Ferris wheel at Chicago's World Fair 100 years before that. George Washington Gale Ferris created it for Daniel Burnham because he wanted a spectacle after he visited Paris's World Fair and saw the Eiffel Tower. He said, we need that in Chicago. So the new one in 1995, a lot shorter than the original, but still pretty cool. They've redesigned it since, though, we know, in 2016, Bob, and now you have the full gondola experience. So you go in there, you got air conditioning, you know, we're getting soft over the years, you need that kind of stuff, I guess, I don't know, but it's cool, you know, because you want to go in it more times of the year because the weather is not really as much of a factor. So
that's right,
pretty cool.
Remember the old joke about Ferris, big wheel at the circus, something like that. I wish I would have forgotten that. Thank you, Anna. Talk to you next time.